Joel was a prophet in Israel in the post-exilic period. The people had returned home from exile and were living in their ancestral land, but under the rule of Persia. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell about how the people renewed their practice of temple worship after the time of exile. But it wasn't all goodness and light once the people returned home. During the time of Joel, the people of Israel are faced with a new challenge. A natural disaster has come. A plague of locusts is threatening their livelihoods and possibly their survival. The book of Joel records in chapter 1 what the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Joel is speaking to his people during this time of terrible plague, and he is encouraging them not to lose heart. He reminds them that even in disaster, they can still call upon God. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Joel reminds the people that they can turn to God in times of crisis precisely because God is gracious and trustworthy and full of love. Joel encourages the people to turn to God with all their hearts, with all their weeping and mourning, with all their fear and anxiety, to bring it all before the Lord. Joel reminds them that God has been faithful to Israel before and will always be trustworthy and merciful. To rip one's clothing was a sign of grief and mourning among Joel's people. It was an outward expression of the tearing feeling of loss and pain. But Joel encourages the people not to rip their clothing, but to rend their hearts before God. This is the phrase that caught my attention this week. Joel's exhortation to rend your hearts. Not simply to open your hearts, but to tear them open, to rip them open, or perhaps to break open your heart before God. This year has been filled with broken hearts. Our hearts break at the suffering we see and at the loss we are experiencing. And so perhaps this is precisely a time to allow our hearts to be broken open, to break open in compassion and suffering for the suffering around us, to break open to hear the voices of people crying out at injustice and oppression, to break open to new opportunities and new ways of doing things, to break open in generosity, moving us to share our resources and care for people in need. Rend your hearts, the prophet says. Let them break open, even though it is frightening to admit our loss and fear. God can hold it. God can hold us even with our broken hearts. Lifting up our broken hearts to God can be the first step to healing and hope, because God can transform our broken hearts into hearts filled with love, compassion, and mercy. God can fill our broken hearts with a passion for the shalom of God, the peace and justice of God, to become real and visible in the world. In Hebrew, the word heart is not so much the source of love and emotion the way that we understand it, but the source of determination, purpose, and courage. They would talk about heart the way we talk about our will. when our hearts are broken open to hearing and seeing the reality around us, and we've been filled with compassion for our neighbors, as well as for our own pain and suffering, then we can begin to let go. To let go of what we will not have or do this season. To let go of trying to manage our fear by controlling everything. To let go of the ways of seeing the world that limit us and our neighbors being who God created us to be. To let go of things no longer serving us or serving our church the way they used to. We can, as they say, let go and let God. Let God fill our hearts with the knowledge that we are beloved. Let God fill our hearts with compassion for all our neighbors. Let God fill our hearts with the peace that only God can give. Let God fill our hearts with God's vision for a just, humane world where all can live in peace and safety. And let God fill our hearts with courage to take the next faithful step. This is another part of the assurance that Joel gives, that when God promises to send God's Spirit to all of God's people, God's Spirit, which encourages, strengthens, and empowers us. God's Spirit, which calls us to new ways and new places and gives us what we need to follow. God's Spirit, which increases our faith. In the church calendar of saints, today is the feast of Saint Nicholas. Nicholas was a man whose heart was broken open by grief and by faith and faithfulness. His heart burst in compassion and generosity and kindness. You can read more about Nicholas and find many activities to celebrate St. Nicholas on the website stnicholascenter.org, and that's where I got this story. The true story of Santa Claus begins with Nicholas, who was born during the 3rd century in the village of Patara in Asia Minor. At the time, the area was Greek and is now on the southern coast of Turkey. His wealthy parents, who raised him to be a devout Christian, died in an epidemic while Nicholas was still young. Obeying Jesus' words to sell what you own and give the money to the poor, Nicholas used his whole inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. He dedicated his life to serving God and was made Bishop of Myra while still a young man. Bishop Nicholas became known throughout the land for his generosity to those in need, his love for children, his concern for sailors and ships. One story, and this is one of the most famous stories of Nicholas, tells of a poor man who had 3 daughters. Now, in those days, a young woman's father had to offer prospective husbands a dowry. The larger the dowry, the better the chance that a young woman would find a good husband. Without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. This poor man's daughters, without dowries, were therefore destined to be sold into slavery. Mysteriously, on 3 different occasions, a bag of gold appeared in their home, providing the needed dowries. The bags of gold, tossed in through an open window, are said to have landed in stockings or shoes left before the fire to dry. This led to the custom of children hanging stockings or putting out shoes, eagerly awaiting gifts from Saint Nicholas. And so Saint Nicholas is a gift giver, an emblem of generosity and compassion. The story of Nicholas, as so many of the saints of the church that we remember, is a story of someone whose heart is broken by suffering, and who responds with the love and mercy of God. It is a good story to remember in this season when we lift up hope and waiting for God in faith and faithfulness. Now, usually we hear the words that we read today, return to the Lord your God, on Ash Wednesday, right? As we enter the season of Lent leading up to Easter. And the words about God pouring out God's Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Those words are often read on Pentecost, Peter's description of the amazing events of that day. But today, our narrative lectionary brings these words together as Joel originally spoke them. And they are words of hope to encourage constancy and faith in a time of crisis. Words to encourage waiting on God, not just with a passive attitude of, oh, whatever comes, but with a sense of longing, of preparing, of making room in our hearts. Return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Rend your hearts, let them break open to be filled with hope and compassion. Return and return and return again and again, as often as needed, to God, whose Spirit will give you faith and courage. Thanks be to God. Amen.